is to protect the health and the welfare and safety of the public who seek and use the services of the nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers pursuant to ARS 38431.02. Notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Managers Board and to the general public that the board will hold its regular monthly board meeting, which is open to the public on Monday, May 12, 2025. The regular board meeting is to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C in Phoenix, Arizona, starting at 9 a.m. The board will review and discuss and may take actions on the following matters listed on the agenda. And the agenda for May 12, 2025 regular board meeting is as follows. Before I move forward, please let me make a call to everybody out in the seating area to turn off your cell phones so that you're not interrupting our meeting today, or at least silence them. Thank you. Okay, under section one, we'll do roll call.
President Cook.
Here.
Vice President Hill. Member Bohorquez?
Here.
Member Lewis?
Here.
Member Malkin?
Here.
Member Muir?
Present.
Member Mendoza?
Here.
Thank you. Are there any declarations of conflicts of interest for members? Anyone? Good. Any declarations of recusals? No? Okay, moving forward. Call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons pursuant to ARS 38431.02H. The board can discuss or take actions only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. Okay, section five we'll move to, which is the review and discuss possible actions on approval of minutes.
Mr. President, can we just ask if there's anybody that wishes to address the board call?
Yes. Is Ms. Rod here? Thank you. And Ms. Tana? Jennifer Tana? Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak with the board today?
Do they wish to address the board at the call of public?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that now?
Yeah.
If you could clarify, if these are about cases that are specifically on the agenda today, they can speak at that time during the case. They don't have to speak during the call of the public.
Okay. I'm assuming, Ms. Rod, you're going to wait for...
I have a general public comment as well as a specific...
it's up to you. You just can't have any conversation with her about...
Okay, I got that.
Called the public.
Okay, so we'll get started. I'll have Jennifer Tom come up first. Yes, right in front of the microphone there, turn the little button so it turns green. And then please introduce yourself to the board.
I am Jennifer Turner. I am the governing authority for assisted living communities in Mesa, two homes and two centers. I've been following very closely the information coming from the health department requiring memory care training of communities that have the directed care license that are taking care of people with memory issues. I have asked the issuing email for the material that I've received, as well as calling the surveyor of the day at the health department to find out where am I to send my proposed content for my 8 hours of managerial training, or excuse me, 8 hours of staff training and the 4 hours of manager training and my credentials to be an educator. Where am I to send this off to? Because the program is to be up and running by the end of June, and there's supposed to be 30 days given to the reviewing folks to consider my program and my credentials. and time's running out. I figured I would ask my question today if I was given an audience, because you will be the folks that will follow up on the non-compliance of communities that don't have that program already in place. But heaven help me, where do I send in my material?
Mr. President, members of the board, if I might, maybe you'll let me address that, but not necessarily right now. Department of Health Services is running the show. They have 110% of the management of putting that program out. We're not going to have the answer for you. You're going to have to reach out to DHS.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't know who to tell you to contact. Sounds like you've already done a little bit of that.
Oh, I'm a nuisance.
So, unfortunately, any information coming out from this agency, you don't have the statutory authority or the rules to help with answering that question, the timelines or anything like that.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you
it.
Thank you.
Ms. Rod, would you like to please come forward?
Thank you.
Can you please introduce yourself to the board again?
Yes. Can you hear me? Oops. Hello?
Yes.
My name is Susan Riot, and I'm a member of the public, and I just want to make a few comments regarding observations I've had as the daughter of an assisted living resident for many years. These are general, they're not specific to any particular case, although certainly they may be applicable to any case that would ever come before you. You know, the mission, first of all, I want to thank the board. I've been here before, and I find the members to be thoughtful and listeners. So I really appreciate that. Also, my calls to NCIA, I have received very, very reliable responses to emails and calls. So I want to thank people there for that as well. The mission is health, safety, and welfare of the public. So I'm here as a member of the public to respond to a few issues. First of all, I just want to point out, and I think you guys are probably really well aware, that there is not a reciprocal relationship between ALS and the public when private equity becomes involved. It is a massive problem, and it's only going to get worse. And by that, what I'm saying is that the goals of private equity and huge corporations are profit. Please don't anybody kid yourself, they are only interested in profit. The goals of the consumer and the people that live there are health, welfare, happiness, safety, etc. So there's a real disconnect. Just a general observation from me and many other people that I'm a part of a group that have observed and are evaluating this. The other bigger issue from a high standpoint, and I don't know that there's anything that can or should be done about this, but please understand that I believe that the medical conditions of people in assisted living over the last 15 years are probably more significant than they were a long time ago, when these people otherwise would have gone to perhaps skilled nursing. But we have administrators that don't have to have much health care or medical background. So I think there's some concern I have about their training and their ability to oversee opioids, very complex medical conditions, etc. The two quick other things, disciplinary actions, I just am not convinced that in all cases that the disciplinary action is commensurate with the violations that have been proven. And I understand that we all deserve due process. We all deserve to be treated fairly, everyone. But I just want to remind the board that when very, very serious violations are brought to the attention of NCIA that result in harm, suffering, and in some cases even death, that the commensurate disciplinary action must be, in the public interest, commensurate with what has happened. you know, I could go on and on, but I will say that I have heard people state that, hey, we can't regulate integrity and empathy and compassion and all these things that lead to this, but you can regulate the actions that stem from that occasional administrator that gets through the cracks and is profoundly lacking in empathy, integrity, etc. So I think it can, you can't change a person's moral compass, but you sure can discipline people and get them out of the field when their actions are so pervasive that they cover or they cause suffering and even death. Finally, just from a consumer standpoint, don't know if there's anything that can be done about this, but when there is a serious, serious event at an assisted living, the family is left with three different organizations that oversee this: NCIA for the administrator or the caregiver, DHS for the facility, and the nursing board if the nurse, LPN or whatever, was involved. What I would suggest is that from now on, if there is a complaint, maybe you do already, if there is a complaint that is serious to NCIA, do you, I don't know if you do, but if you don't, if you could automatically check that facility's DHS record, because it is profound at times. Look at it, because you will get more information and see a history if you look at DHS. I don't know if you do that, but it would be nice to cross-communicate. And that's really all. I just hope you take all of that into consideration for future governance. And thank you for allowing me to be here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So is Mr. Mark Lawrence here? I was going to go to Section 10 for Mr. Mark Lawrence, which is, I believe, someone that we called back. Ms. Apina?
Yeah. This is a request for rehearing.
A rehearing?
Request for rehearing or review.
Okay.
It's added later.
Is he not in the... Mark Lawrence? Not here? Do we move forward with the review stuff?
Hi. So, my name is Mark Brackwell. I'm your Assistant Attorney General, IA, for the day. And I'll be handling your final action cases as far as legal guidance goes. And so, if you're calling the Lawrence case on the agenda for its formal presentation, you certainly have that right. And if he's not present, then his motion, which he filed in the form of an email, still stands. So it would continue as a presentation of chance.
Okay. So then do we start with Phil?
No.
Oh.
No. You've already adjudicated this matter.
Okay.
So you've already adjudicated this matter for a hearing. You revoked the license. So the state will say, based on what was provided, really it's up to the board. The reason that you revoked last time was that Mr. Lawrence did not show up to attend the formal hearing. The recommendation was for, I believe, 6 hours in continuing education. So at that time, the state proffered that you could take either option based on what was presented to you. I planned on actually, I expected Mr. Lawrence to be here today. I would have said, based on his request for rehearing or review, the only thing that I would really agree with is that the penalty may have been excessive, but that's because he didn't show up. If he were here today, I may have said it would be appropriate to order that CE, if that's some, or allow him to sign a consent agreement if that's something he wanted to do. Given that he hasn't shown up to discuss it again, and the reason that the excessive penalty in the state's view would be appropriate is if he did show up to, you know, show that he's willing to be regulated. Since he's not here, the state would just respectfully request that you deny the request for rehearing.
And that needs to be in a motion format?
That's correct, Mark Rector.
Okay. Any other board members want to make that motion?
Mr. President, members of the board, staff's suggestion is that maybe a straw poll of board members to see if they want to discuss anything that's in the respondent's motion. You've heard the state's position, but he has filed this motion based upon what he sees the record to be. I do not know if you want any discussion with that amongst your board members, but I would at least do a straw poll to see if there's anything they want to discuss regarding that motion. Maybe the state can respond, and I don't want to step on our independent counsel's toes, so I'm sure he's going to jump in here.
I figured that we needed to have a proposal out there before we started the discussion, but we can have a discussion beforehand.
Go ahead.
Mr. Coffer's statements are wise, and so the case is in front of this board, and so now will be a time for discussion as to the respondent's request for a rehearing or a review that is submitted in front of the board in the form of his email that's in your packet. That's his motion. And now you've heard the response from the state, so it would be appropriate at this point for either a discussion or a motion.
Okay, I'll open it up for discussion. Any of the board members?
I believe the reason we went to the revoking is because he had said he didn't want to follow up on the CEU since he was going to retire. And that's why, right? Is that what happened? And so now he doesn't want to retire? Until he wants his license? Is that what I'm understanding from
this email? Mr. President, board member, I'm going to try to paraphrase this. I don't think the purpose of the revocation was based on the fact that he wanted to retire. Your revocation was based upon the findings of the fact and conclusions of law for those violations that were in here. He is personally choosing not to continue in the industry. But obviously, he disagrees with the revocation. That's why he filed the motion to review.
Yes, I understand. Okay. I think that he didn't want to follow through on any of the disciplinary action, though, because he was going to retire. He didn't want to go into
two separate matters. So we have a parallel case where he was under a consent agreement, where he has not complied, and then, but I may need your help, Shannon, I'm pulling from memory. Did we combine these or not?
No.
Okay. So there's another case that's pending out there that was not considered with this for non-compliance. This particular case is non-compliance with the DHS survey, if memory serves. You want to comment?
The state would just say, based on the request for rehearing, the new evidence presented is basically, in March and April, I had follow-up inspections and they were all good. That's not really new evidence that's grounds for rehearing or review based on what had happened before. I think we're all glad that now they don't have any issues. That's, trending in a good direction, but that's not grounds for rehearing or review. So again, it was the state's understanding that based on the findings of fact, the conclusions of law, and the fact that the respondent was not participating, you move for revocation. So if anything you see here changes that decision, then the state
is there a communication in here that says that he's not going to be here today? To any of you?
I have no idea.
Because if he's not showing up, it just gives me to me, he's not here to defend his license, and all he's saying is he wants a rehearing from us. But if he's not here to defend his license, there's no reason for us to make any changes.
Well, and I'm not going to speak for him, and again, he's not here, but it very clearly states in here, although it's a request for rehearing, what he's requesting is that you remove the continuing education requirements since he's now in compliance. Again, that's not an excessive penalty to be issued some kind of discipline to do continuing education, and then you then fix the issue, don't believe that you need to do the continuing education. That's not really the same ground, so.
And he did sign the consent agreement, didn't he?
I believe the revocation, obviously, he did not sign since he doesn't need to, but the consent agreements he did not sign.
And he did sign it.
He signed and didn't comply. Asked for a rehearing.
Didn't show up.
But he says he's in compliance. That's wild.
Any other discussion?
So, do we make a motion? Anybody have a motion?
Do I make it out of the script then?
What, Jeff?
Or, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name again.
Mark Brack.
Mark. Do I make it out the script then, or do I, can we just make a motion?
Just, you're now, if the discussion is closed, then you're just going to call for a motion. And of course, anyone on the board can make a motion, whether to grant the request for a rehearing review or deny. And if you want to grant it as a board, that's the motion, then you have to state specifically what's the grounds to grant a rehearing or review. If the intention is to deny his request, then you just state that you are denying it. Don't provide a reason why. It's his responsibility to provide reasons. So hopefully that helps.
Well, let's see where this goes. I'm going to make a motion that to deny the Mr. Lawrence's request for rehearing on case 2024-RCE-0067. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Any roll call?
President Cook?
Here. Or aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Bohorquez?
Aye.
Member Malkin?
Aye.
Member Muir?
Aye.
Member Mendoza?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Then I think we'll move to section 7. We have to go back. Okay. So I'm going to go back to section 5 to do the approval of the minutes.
And please remember for the minutes for the subcommittee, no motion needs to be made. If there's anything that you see in there that you have issue with or that's incorrect, just let Jack know, and then direct Jack to post those.
Okay. Do you have a motion to approve any of the minutes?
Second.
Any further discussion, board? Roll call.
Member Mendoza?
Aye.
Member Bohorquez?
Aye.
President Cook?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Malkin?
Aye.
Member Muir?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. President, you have a couple minutes before your 9:30 hearing. You may want to try item 7 or 8, which are not time specific, if the board chooses to.
Okay. Should we move to section 7 then, for Mr. Hawk? Brian Hawk? Is he in the gallery today? No.
I haven't seen the sign-in sheet. Is Brian Hawk here? Is he available?
He's the subpoena from a prior meeting.
Does not appear to be here, sir.
Come back to it at the end. Come back, okay. What was the other one, Jack? You said section
8.
Section 8. For Mr. The review of the manager's certificate.
Yes, the application.
For Mansoor Olowumi. Is he in? Please come forward. Please introduce yourself to the board.
Yes, my name is Mansoor Olowumi. I'm an applicant for manager's exam.
So. Sure, this is complaint 2025-NCI-0162. Concerns manager applicant Mansoor Olowumi, who's present here today. And on March 23rd, 2025, Mr. Olumi applied for an assistant living facility manager certificate, and his application is administratively complete, however, he has not yet passed the exam. In his application, Mr. Olumi failed to disclose a prior disciplinary action on his pharmacy license from 2001. That discipline was a 5-year suspension of his pharmacy license. In this original review of Mr. Olumi's application, it was recommended that his application be denied for that failure to report the prior disciplinary action.
Anything you want to add to that?
I apologize. This is AAG Monty. If we're going to get into any specifics, any health-related specifics, any protected information, then we need to go into executive session for those purposes. If we're just going to talk about the failure to provide that information, that is a reason to deny an application. It is not a complete application with that information in there. So. Again, you can discuss that with him here. It's just specifically related to that issue.
So can you please explain to us, Mr.?
Yes, again, as I did provide you with a little statement, that was totally, totally unintended, what I did. Because as I was just filling the applications, my total belief was the questions were related to specifically the assisted living, nursing, what have you. And I did not connect that to my previous history of what happened back in 22, 23 years ago. And I didn't know honestly that what they're asking has anything to do with that. Because my understanding was that what happened back then has been a public record all along. Like whenever I wondered about what's out there in, internet, when I punched in my name, everything was there. So for that reason, I did not have any reason to not wanting to disclose anything, because this has been a public record, and totally irrelevant for me to decide to keep this away from or keep it, from the board as far as that goes. And my apologies are sincere apologies for not being careful about what I'm filling out, what I'm giving you my honest answer to that. Not disclosing that was not an intentional act on my behalf. And what I'm doing right now, after so many years of being a public service as a pharmacist, my wife is actually right now, she is a caregiver at one of the centers here in Phoenix. And she's been wanting to do this all her life. And from what she sees out there, she thinks that she can do better for things that she thinks best not to do the way they're doing it out there. So she wants to do it right. But she's just not an academic person. She is a hands-on kind of person. So she knows what she's doing. But as far as being able to open a group home, I wanted to, just step in and help her out in that part of the deal, which is basically go through all the training for managers and be able to have a license for her to be able to start her business. But again, it is kind of difficult for her to do the academic course because she's never been that kind of person to do that. But as far as being able to do the job, she's the one. And I'm just, as her husband, I'm trying to make that dream come true for her by being able to go through this program and make this happen for her. And just with my knowledge of pharmacy, I think I would be a good source and a major benefit to the public when you have a pharmacist on the board in assisted living along with everything else that my wife can do on the side.
So far, all the questions.
This is me.
This is you? This
yeah. It's okay. It's confusing. I know.
So all the questions are basically just that we can ask are just to not put that application correctly and not putting in
the if you have other questions about any health-related issues that are in the documents, you would want to go into executive session for confidential information. Okay. But again, your options are to grant, call this an accident and grant the license. You could grant the license subject to certain conditions, as you have before in a consent agreement, or you can deny the license for attempting to obtain a license by fraud or deceit.
I may have a couple questions that may be protected. Maybe I'll ask if we can go to executive session.
Yep. So executive session for confidential information and legal advice? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we can move right into executive session.
Yes.
Motion. We now need a second.
We have a second to go into executive session.
Second.
All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We're in executive. We are on the case of Mr. Mansour Olamov. After executive session, can we go right to a...
I would have a little discussion.
Okay, do any board members have any other questions for Mr. Mansour? Is there any discussion that we want to hold before making a motion?
I think the simple discussion is that, I'm so sorry, sir. Can you pronounce your name again for me?
Mansour Olumi.
Mr. Mansour.
Mansour.
Yes, sir. He failed to appropriately answer the questions on the application, and so I have concern regarding that, and open it up for anybody else.
I also have that same concern, Mr. Mansour. This is a very detailed industry that we get into, and as a pharmacist, you should know that as well. I'm on the side of asking the board members to. I don't know if I can make a motion or not.
Yeah.
At this point, well, I'll just make the motion and I'll see where it goes from there. Okay. My motion is that we deny Mr. Mansour Olumumi. I'm sorry, I can't say your last name, sir. At this point in time, for a license for assistant living manager. Is there anything else I need to add to that?
Yeah. So you're denying it pursuant to 36446.07 B2.
That's a list of reasons.
That would be for failing to provide the appropriate information as requested and signing the attestation that the information is correct on the application.
So that would be my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion, board members? Roll call.
President Cook?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Bohorquez?
Aye.
Member Malkin?
Aye.
Member Muir?
Aye.
Member Mendoza?
Aye.
Motion carries.
So, applicant Olumi, the board just voted to deny your application. The staff will send out a notice to you, will have appeal rights on it, and so forth, kind of restating the decision that they've made today. Thank you very much for coming down today. Appreciate it.
So can we move to section 9,
the hearing section?
Yes.
Yep.
Number 2 is Grace Leathers in the audience.
No, the formal hearings. We have a 9:30 formal hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. So the next person then, we would move to section...
Six.
A. A and B, or just A?
Just A for now, and that starts on page 29 of your materials.
Jonathan Castillo. Is he out there? Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Bracco, the NURIA. For purposes of hearings in section six, chance, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'll be your IA, your legal guidance if you have any questions.
Yep.
Thank you.
And before you get into it, since you've already called the matter, there is a preliminary matter that we don't have to get into the script. It'll be your motion to deem script. Just to, so Mr. Castillo is not here. The state has not heard from Mr. Castillo either in quite some time. As you can see, these complaints are quite old and he has not been participating. So if you don't mind, I'll just present the motion to deem.
Can we do that?
Mark Brechtel. Yes, you can, and if you already called out to the audience to see if he's present or not, I just didn't. If you haven't done that yet, then just check to confirm that he's not present.
Okay, I thought I did. Mr. Castillo, are you in the audience? Jonathan Castillo? Go ahead, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Board President, Board Members. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. So, in front of you, the state has filed a motion to deem the allegations admitted on cases number 2024 NCI 0301, 2024 NCI 0398. So, again, the complaint notice of hearing in this matter, as you can see, was quite extensive. It's attached as Exhibit 1. There were quite a few deficiencies that were not only cited but also went to enforcement in this matter. Mr. Castillo has not participated, and so board staff mailed the complaint notice of hearing to Mr. Castillo at his address of record on file with the board, April 1st, 2025, via U.S. Postal Service certified mail return receipt requested, and regular mail to response address of record on file. In addition to setting the complaint notice of hearing through both certified and regular mail, an electronic copy was also sent to the email of record that is on file with the board. Additionally, neither the regular mail or email came back as undeliverable. The certified mail receipt shows that the mail was accepted April 5th, 2025 at the respondent's address of record. So we can only assume that it is either the receipt.
Mr. President, members of the board, six is our minimum quorum.
Oh, we're done. We can't have a quorum.
She said the state just walked into our building. She had to leave, an emergency.
We can't. Meeting's done.
We have to put on hold the meeting. We just lost our quorum. Six people is our minimum quorum out of 11. So we can no longer conduct any business pursuant to statute. I don't know what to do with that.
Where's the
I don't know.
Member Hill said she would be here at the time the interviews were scheduled.
So are we done until then?
Is she available by phone?
Which one?
I don't know.
Either.
Think so.
Well, she's got a 2-hour drive.
Yeah, Amy. Yeah.
Let me.
Yeah. I can make a suggestion, Mark Brechtel. Is state into the record what just happened. Somebody walked out of the room, a board member, and just put it into the record, and then you could certainly take a brief recess, and if you believe that there might be a board member that is available remotely, I understand, I assume that you would provide for remote appearances of board members?
Yes.
So maybe proceed in that direction is just take a recess.
Okay. So board member Amy Malkin left the facility, left the board meeting for an emergency at her facility. So we are going to take a 10-minute break.
Well, unfortunately, we have to cancel the meeting.
I don't have state law requires
that I have a report.
So I'm working on my 60-page.
State law requires that I have a report. Right now, there's a letter of court.
Oh, you're welcome.
I mean, I have a 6-4 number.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to do that.
I've contacted two other board members. They're not available. We're not going to be here for a while. So we're canceling the meeting. We're going to re-notice those items that have not been on the agenda. And my apologies. I don't have a better explanation, a better way to manage this right now. So I'm just straightforward telling you what's going on. Did you have a question, sir?
I was just curious what the cancellation means, like everything that was discussed before the lady walked out, it would have to be discussed.
I can't conduct, the board is no longer able to conduct any business because I don't have the right number of board members. Everything we did previously, those decisions are good to go. Anything we haven't gotten to yet is going to be on an agenda for a future meeting. And I do not know when that meeting will be at this time. So my apologies to you. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for 35, 40 years. It's only the second or third one that I remember that we ended up in this situation. And my apologies to you that was today. So if you have any questions, grab me on your way out. Thank you,
Mark.
Yeah, go ahead,
Andrew. If you signed in for CEU, just talk to Paige up front. Thank you.
Everybody's.